Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Greenback Planet is a work of narrative history and economic analysis by H.W. Brands that examines how the US dollar rose from a national paper currency to the central medium of global finance. Rather than treating money as an abstract subject, the book traces the political struggles, crises, and policy decisions that shaped the dollar's power over time. It begins with the Civil War era and the creation of greenbacks, then follows major turning points such as debates over gold, financial panics, the founding of the Federal Reserve, and the domestic and international consequences of American monetary leadership. Brands writes for general readers, but the subject matter also appeals to anyone interested in economic history, U.S. state power, or the international system. The book's purpose is not only to explain how the dollar became dominant, but also to show why that dominance created both stability and danger for the modern world. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Civil War finance turned the greenback into a new kind of money. The book starts with the Civil War, because that conflict forced the United States to rethink what money could be. Before greenbacks, the dollar was still tied to precious metal and limited by older monetary habits. Lincoln's decision to issue paper currency backed by federal credit marked a major break with the past. Brands uses this moment to show that the dollar's rise did not begin with international finance, but with a domestic emergency that demanded flexibility. The greenback helped fund the Union war effort and supported industrial expansion, but it also introduced a larger political question. If money no longer had to be anchored to gold or silver, then its value would depend on public confidence in the government itself. That change made the dollar more adaptable and powerful, yet also more controversial. This opening section of the book establishes the central argument that the monetary system modern America inherited was not natural or inevitable, but the product of wartime necessity and political experimentation. Secondly, the struggle between gold discipline and fiat authority. A major theme in the book is the long conflict between hard money and paper money. Brands explains how the dollar's relationship to gold and silver shaped debates over inflation, trust, and national credit. Gold-backed currency promised restraint and predictability, while fiat money offered governments greater freedom to respond to crises and finance growth. The book does not present this as a simple victory of one side over the other. Instead, it shows that the United States gradually moved toward a system in which the dollar derived strength from the reputation and taxing power of the federal state rather than from metal reserves. This transition mattered because it allowed America to expand economically, but it also made the value of money depend on policy judgment and institutional credibility. The book highlights key episodes such as the Black Friday gold market attempt as examples of how speculative behavior could expose weaknesses in monetary systems. By focusing on these conflicts, Brands shows that the dollar's ascent was inseparable from a broader debate about whether money should be constrained by metal or managed by government. Thirdly, crisis management and the rise of financial institutions. Brands places repeated emphasis on the idea that monetary power grows through crisis response. The book describes moments such as the 1907 Panic, JP, Morgan's emergency intervention, the creation of the Federal Reserve, and Franklin Roosevelt's handling of the 1933 bank panic as turning points in institutional development. These episodes matter because they reveal that modern money is not sustained by a single currency note, but by a network of institutions capable of supplying liquidity, restoring confidence, and coordinating policy. The Federal Reserve emerges in the book as a response to the weaknesses of an earlier system in which private finance and public authority were not well aligned. Roosevelt's actions during the Depression further demonstrated that preserving the monetary order sometimes required decisive government intervention. Brands uses these cases to argue that the dollar's strength depended on building tools for managing instability, not merely on issuing currency. This gives the book an institutional dimension. It is as much about the construction of financial machinery as it is about the dollar itself. The point is that monetary dominance is maintained through governance, not passivity. Fourthly, the dollar's global spread after American economic ascendancy. Another major section of the book examines how the dollar became the standard currency of world finance after the United States emerged from World War II as the dominant economic power. Brands explains that international use of the dollar was not accidental. It reflected America's industrial capacity, military reach, and credibility as a lender and trading partner. Once foreign governments, firms, and investors saw the dollar as reliable, it became embedded in trade, reserves, and investment flows. The book extends this analysis beyond the immediate post-war period to show how the dollar influenced the development of other economies, including Germany, Japan, Russia, and China. This global role made the United States unusually influential because decisions made in Washington affected borrowing costs, capital flows, and stability across the world. Brands is careful to show both sides of this process. The same dominance that simplified commerce and provided a common standard also created dependence on American policy and exposed other countries to U.S. monetary shocks. The book therefore treats dollar hegemony as a system of international coordination, but one built on asymmetry and unequal power. Lastly, why dollar supremacy creates stability as well as systemic danger. The title's warning about civilization is not rhetorical excess. It reflects the book's argument that global dependence on the dollar brings serious risks. Brands ends by examining the 2008 financial crisis as evidence that the same system that supports world commerce can also transmit instability at high speed. Because so much trade, debt, and reserve holding is dollar-based, disruptions in the American financial system can ripple through the entire globe. The book suggests that the world benefits from the dollar's liquidity, portability, and familiarity, but pays a price when confidence in the U.S. system falters. This makes the dollar unlike a normal national currency. It is not just a domestic tool, but a global infrastructure, and infrastructure can fail on a large scale. Brands does not argue that the dollar should simply be abandoned. Rather, he shows that its dominance creates a structural vulnerability for the international order. This final theme gives the book its cautionary edge and makes it especially relevant to readers who want to understand why monetary power is also geopolitical power. In conclusion, Greenback Planet is best suited for readers who want a serious but accessible history of American money, the Federal Reserve, and the international monetary system. It will be especially useful for students of U.S. history, economics, political development, and global affairs, as well as general readers who want to understand why the dollar became the world's reference currency. The book offers practical intellectual value by clarifying how monetary systems evolve through war, panic, institution building, and state credibility. It also helps readers see that currency is never just a technical medium of exchange. It is a form of power that shapes trade, policy, and global dependence. What makes the book stand out among similar histories is Brands' ability to combine scholarly range with a clear narrative structure. He connects Civil War finance, gold standard debates, central banking, Depression-era policy, and the 2008 crisis into one continuous argument about the making of modern money. That broad sweep, paired with a cautionary perspective on dollar supremacy, gives the book both explanatory depth and contemporary relevance. If you would like to support HW Brands, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.